ജയം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീൽ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൌര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണെ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യം സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരസർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാട് തേനെ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാത് നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ബലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരം ആജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ജൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കൊണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോഹോ మమ వాజి విజృంభనా మురారే మధురిన్న కనికాపి కాపి కాపి నమాహుం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలి శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశకారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందం వ్రజ స్త్రీణం పదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. బిఫోర్ వి బిగిన్ ఉద్ధవ గీత ఆర్ కృష్ణస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ టు ఉద్ధవ, ఎ కపుల్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్స్ టు కీప్ ఇట్ ఇన్ మైండ్. ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ దట్ శ్రీ నారద మహర్షి మెన్షన్స్ ఇన్ ది భక్తి సూత్రం, నారద భక్తి సూత్రం, వాట్ ఈస్ భక్తి. ఎవ్రీ టైమ్ పీపుల్ ఆస్క్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ వాట్స్ భక్తి. సో వీ హ్యావ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ ఆప్షన్, దాట్ ఈస్ టు ఫాలో ది ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది అథారిటీస్ ఆన్ భక్తి. సో హూ ఈజ్ శ్రీ నారద మహర్షి ఇన్ భక్తి? హీ ఈస్ మెన్షన్డ్ అమాంగ్ ది 12 మహాజన్స్, ది సెకండ్. స్వయంభు నారద శంభు కుమార కపిలో మను ప్రహ్లాద జనగో భీష్మ బలిం వయాసగిర్ వయం, ఇట్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం దిస్ వర్డ్స్. సో ఆఫ్ ది 12 అథారిటీస్ ఆన్ భక్తి, శ్రీ నారద మహర్షి ఈస్ మెన్షన్డ్ ఎస్ ది సెకండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ. Obviously, Brahma being the father, he is mentioned first, and Sri Narada Maharshi is mentioned. So, Sri Narada Maharshi defines bhakti in the Bhagavadam, in the Narada Bhakti Sutram. Swa Tvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. That is his conclusion on bhakti. Swa Tvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. That is bhakti. When one has developed unalloyed attachment for Krishna, develop pure love for Krishna, without expectation anything in return from Krishna, then that is bhakti. Svatvasmin parama prema rupa, he says in the bhakti sutram. So this process of bhakti, what is discussed in the bhakti sutram in one sentence like that, or one sutram, is what is expanded in the Srimad Bhagavatam through various episodes, what you will find there, that whichever way one get attached to Krishna's holy name and Krishna's form, then that attachment is bhakti. That attachment is bhakti. Attachment to Krishna's holy name is bhakti. Attachments to Krishna's form is bhakti. So, in the beginning, it is Krishna is the master and I am the servant. Krishna is the master and I am the servant. Ashrayam, ashraya, ashrada bhavam. That is, some bhavam is necessary. In all relationship, some bhavam is necessary. So here also, in the bhakti process, you will find that different bhavams are shown by different devotees, at different ways, which you all know. In the Bhagavadam, there is Chandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam. All five different kinds of relationships with Krishna for different devotees. So, in the third canto, Kapila Vasudeva also mentions the same thing. He says there, Esham Aham Priyatma Sutascha Sakha Guru Suhurdo ദൈവം ഇഷ്ടം. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ വേർഡ് ഹി ഹാസ് യൂസ്ഡ്. യേഷാമഹം പ്രിയാത്മസ്തുതശ്ച സഖാ ഗുരു സുഹൃതോ ദൈവം ഇഷ്ടം. ഇൻ എനി ഓഫ് ദീസ് വേയ്സ് ഐ റെസിപ്രൊക്കേറ്റ് വിത്ത് മൈ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. കപില വാസുദേവ് സേസ്യ. And it is the same principle again. Krishna expands in the Ekadasham. It's not much different. Yesha maham priya alpa sudascha sakha guru sukhrdo devam ishtam. In different relationships, son, father, valsali rasam, and also shangara rasam, like the gopis had, as a friend like Arjuna had, and in different ways that relationship exists. In Bhagavatam, everyone has different relationships. But if you ask, where is the best definition of bhakti in the Bhagavatam? Generally, the personality who is taken very seriously in the bhakti relationship is Vritrasura. You'll be amazed that the demon of Vritrasura has been taken as the finest example of bhakti. Because Vritrasura's words in the Bhagavatam is so touching, and it can only be understood that Vritrasura's heart was so clean in relationship with his devotion to Krishna. So therefore, even if you want to mention about Gopi Bhakti, Gopi's devotion, it is not much different than what Vritrasura has spoken, that Dasya Bhakti, that dependence on Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, how he puts it is, Aham Hare Tava Padaiga Moolam Dasanu Daso Bhavadasmi Bhuyam Manasmare Amsubadeer Gunaste Griniyava Karma Karyodhukayaha Nanaka Prishtam Najaparameshtyam Nasarva Bhaumam Narasadhivatyam ന യോഗ സിദ്ധി അപുനർഭവം വാ സമഞ്ജസത്വ വിരഹയ്യകാംക്ഷേ അജാതപക്ഷം ഇവ മാതരം ഖഗാഹ സ്തന്യം യഥാ വത്സതരാ ക്ഷുധാർത്ഥാഹ പ്രിയം പ്രിയേവാമ്യുഷിതം വിഷണ്ണ മനോ അരവിന്ദാക്ഷ ദിദൃക്ഷതേ ത്വം. ദീസ് ആർ ദി വൃത്താസുരസ് പ്രയേഴ്സ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ. In the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, Shashtaskandam, you will find this prayers from Vritrasuras to Krishna, where he says, My only desire, Krishna, is life after life, Aham Hare, Tava Padega Moolam Dasanu Daso Bhavidasmi Bhuya. Dasanu Dasan, your servant of the servant, or at your lotus feet, let me become that. Manasmared Amsupadeer Gunaste Asupade. Asupade he calls Krishna as Asupade. Asupade means one who controls pranan in our body. One who controls pranan in our body. That's why he is called Asupade. Asu means pranan. Pranan means the life air inside the body. So who controls the life air? Krishna controls the life air, isn't it? It's Krishna's part and parcel, that life air. If you remember, When Pudana was killed by Krishna, Pudana offered her breasts to Krishna to suck. And Krishna, when he started sucking Pudana's breasts, he found there was no taste in there because it was completely smeared with poison in order to kill Krishna. But Krishna found there was something else inside which is tastier, much more tasty. What was that? Pranan. So through the breast, suck that pranan out from Pudana's body. So Asupate means one who sucks, who is that Asu. Asu means pranan, which is part and parcel of Krishna. So Asupadeer gunaste griniyava karma karo dukayaha. That my activities, work, mind, everything, let it be directed in such a way that it is only to serve you, Asupate. It says, that why Vritrasura said like this? Vritrasura was saying like this because Vritrasura's devotion was such a high degree that Nanaka Prishtam was not asking for anything in this whole creation. He didn't want anything from this creation. Na nagaprishtam. I don't want any heavenly planets, he says. Na cha parameshtyam. No, I don't want any position in anywhere else. Na sarvabhaumam. I don't want to be an emperor in this planet. Na rasadhipatyam. Rasadalam, I don't want to be a control of that either. Because rasadalam is a very opulent place in the lower planetary systems. Na yoga siddhi. I don't want any yoga siddhi either. Na punarbhavam va samanjasatva virahaya gangkshe. That I'm only praying to you, with Vritrasura says, that I'm not looking for anything, but this separation is the difficult thing for me. That separation, ever since I've been separated from you, says to Krishna, ever since I've been separated from you, it has become unbearable for me. And how does he compare that separation? Ajada baksham iva mataram khagaha. When in the morning, the mother of small birds, they go away hunting for food. And these little birds, they wait there for the mother to come back. They don't have the capacity to fly anymore. They have not acquired the strength to fly. So what could they do? They just have to wait till the mother comes back with the food. So when the mother is away looking for food for the babies, for the little ones, she is always thinking about the babies. The babies are also thinking about the mother. When will the mother come back? Vritrasura says that I am in that situation at the moment. Krishna is also thinking about us. When will they come back to me? We are also thinking when Krishna will come to us. So Vritrasura is saying there, ajada baksham iva madharam khaga stanyam yatha valsadara shudhartaha. When a cow delivers a baby calf, and the calf in the beginning has plenty of milk to drink, but later on the cow goes away and is grazing in the field, and the calf is tied back at home. So later on, the mother cow comes back, and the calf is waiting for the mother to come back and to feed the baby, the calf. So at that time, there is a relationship there. What is that? Stanyam yatha valsatara kshudhartaham. The baby wants the milk very badly. She is waiting whole day for the mother to return from the field after grazing. And when she comes back, the mother wants to feed the baby immediately. And the baby also is looking for that opportunity to drink the milk. So there you can see what the emotions are involved in there. The mother wants to feed the baby is waiting for the mother to come. Priyam priyeva vyushidam vishanaha. That suppose a newly married couple, they have developed a loving relationship between each other, and for some reason, for business or whatever reasons, the husband had to go away for a few days. At that time, just like the newly married young girl thinks about her husband, and the husband is also thinking about her and feeling that separation strongly in their heart. Similarly, Vritrasura is saying here, I am feeling that same separation from you. Priyam priyeva vyushidam vishanna manoravinda chadadrakshade tvam. So, this relationship is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam among many devotees. And what we have seen last Sunday was, Uddhava was also feeling the same feeling of separation. What was that? Naham tavangrikamalam kshanardhamabhigeshava tyaktum samulsahe nadha sudhamanayamamavi. That he was saying that Naham tavangrikamalam kshanardhamabhigeshava. Even for a second, I cannot exist being separated from you. So this exactly what Vritrasura has spoken is here also in the mind of Uddhava. Uddhava was also feeling exactly the same experience, same heart, same mind, working in the same way. Kshanardham avigeshava. Even for a small second, being separated from Krishna was unbearable for Uddhava. Tyaktum samulsahe nadha swadhamanayamam abhi. that wherever you are going, it doesn't matter where you are going, I just want to be with you. That's all Uddhava wanted. So you can see this experience of this experience is there among the devotees. Krishna gives us a little bit of taste of that sometimes. Krishna gives us a little bit of taste. And when you get that taste, then you will know what it is, being separated from Krishna. This is called mercy. This is called mercy. Nothing but mercy. It is Krishna's mercy it is. Who gets it? When he gets it? Very difficult to say. But when one gets it is called nothing but the word is karunyam. Karunyam means mercy. Karunyam, karunyam, karunyam. That's all it is. Krishna's mercy, mercy, mercy. That being separated from Krishna, feeling that separation. Sometimes we say that Krishna has been very merciful to me. Krishna has been very merciful to me. People say like that, isn't it? What do they say? Oh, my daughter got married, Krishna has been very merciful to me. I won the lottery, Krishna has been very merciful to me. Yeah. And we have so many things in our mind that to represent this mercy. We say it, Krishna's mercy. That, or somebody says, I got the job, because it's Krishna's mercy. I've got the job. Actually, none of this is Krishna's mercy. None of this is Krishna's mercy. If you know what is Krishna's mercy, then you will know that what foolishness we are talking about. Getting daughter married, or getting a job, or getting winning a lottery, if that is Krishna's mercy, then how much misunderstood we have. When a living entity, after suffering in this world for millions of lifetimes, in millions of bodies, going through the cycle of birth and death, not knowing what to do, not knowing what is the purpose of going through this life, not knowing where it's going, but continuously being subjected to the material miseries of birth, death, old age and disease, and living in ignorance continuously, at that point, when Krishna pulls you out from that and brings you out from this material existence, that is mercy. That is mercy. Nothing else is mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. When there is a possibility, before we get entangled in this material life, before we get entangled in this material life and not knowing which direction to turn, all the time being affected by the modes of nature and all kinds of material torture in this creation, in this world, when we are subjected to that, unable to find a solution to anything, and being constantly exposed to the material modes of nature and material miseries, and not knowing what to do about it, at that point, some mercy comes from Krishna, and he pulls us out from this, and puts us in our spiritual position. That is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, it's not mercy. Other things are based on our own karmam. It will come. Happiness and distress will come according to that. There is no need to say to Krishna that this is what I want, this is what I don't want. That is already settled. Everything has been settled already. That will happen in its own way, whichever has to happen. But the important thing Vritrasura is telling us is, if you want to understand Krishna's mercy, this is Krishna's mercy. That helplessly wandering in this world, in this creation, and mind and intelligence completely addicted to sense gratification and to enjoy this material world, and no desire to escape from his either, making different plans to enjoy here with the wife, children, family, society, community and all that. And every time, sometimes success, sometimes failure. Ultimately everything failure. And eventually have to leave the body and accept another body. Is that mercy? That is not mercy. Mercy is this. When Krishna takes us out from this chakram, this wheel of samsaram or material existence, that is Krishna's mercy. So, in Bhagavatam you will find all the devotees will talk only about this one topic of the getting out of this material life, material cycle of birth and death. If you go back a little further, there is also the words from Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, if you remember in Bali Maharaj's story, Krishna has come in the form of Vamana Murthy and took out everything from him, isn't it? Bali Maharaj owned the whole three planetary systems, lower, middle and upper planetary systems. And Krishna came in the form of Vamana Murthy, and through three steps he measured the whole thing, and everything he took away from Mahabali. You know what Mahabali said to Krishna? This is your mercy. What will we say? Will we say to Krishna, this is your mercy? No. When we get things, we'll say to Krishna, this is your mercy. When Krishna takes away something from us, we will say, Krishna is not merciful to me. This is what we will say, isn't it? So we become the judge there. This is where you require Srimad Bhagavatam. Because you will misunderstand everything. We will misunderstand, thinking that when materially things are coming and material life is going very well, we will say to others, Krishna's mercy. Mahabali is saying, everything you have taken away from me, that's your mercy. How are they compatible? And Mahabali puts his own words, if you read those lines, how he makes it. He says, Tumnunam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru. Paroksha paramo. Tumnunam asuranam ja paroksha paramo guru. He says to Vamanamurthy. Normally in this world, in the form of love, what we do is violent, ahimsa. Violent, violence is what we do in the form of love. In the form of love. Just like when we have love for the children or affection for others, what do? Sometimes we buy them a nice box of chocolates, isn't it? A nice box of chocolates you buy for them. That is in the name of love. And sometimes what else we do? Sometimes we tell them, oh, I'll take you to a football match, or I'll take you to Alton Towers, or somewhere like that, where I will give you opportunity for sense enjoyment. This is our so-called love in this world. Our so-called love in this world. In other words, everything what we call as love in this world is nothing but violence. Strictly speaking, even sending children to school is violence. Even sending the children to school is violence. Because ultimately, in the name of love, what we are giving to them is actually destroying their life in many ways. But we are helpless about that. In many instances, we are just unable to do anything. But whatever it is, what did Mahabali says to him? Tvam nunam asuranam ja paroksham paramam guru. To Vamanamurthy he says that what you have done to me today by coming here and taking everything out from me, my hands, because we are asuras. Asuras means what? One who enjoys senses, isn't it? Asu means the sense enjoyment, asu pranan. So one who enjoys in the asus or in the senses, they are called asuras. We are from that group, Mahabali says to Vamanamurthy. And our normal mentality is to enjoy as much as possible. That is the asura nature. Asuric nature is always to enjoy. And from that enjoyment mood, difficult to come out from that, isn't it? You know how difficult it is when you are constantly enjoying senses. And when it is so difficult to give up sense enjoyment, you have come here and taught me a very good lesson and pulled me out of that sense enjoyment and brought me to your lotus feet. Tvamnuvinam asuranancha paroksha paramam guru. You are my spiritual master because of this. Paramam guru, the supreme spiritual master. Who else will do this? Mahabali said to Vamanamurthy. You are my real spiritual master because you have done this to me, pulled me out of ignorance and brought me from sense enjoyment to spiritual life, to realization, spiritual realization, self-realization in other words. So this is Mahabali's words. Ultimately, Mahabali is recognizing the point that you have taught me this one important thing, that you alone is the reality. Krishna alone is the reality. When we separate from Krishna, we think so many other things as reality, then we act on a false platform. Sense enjoyment, everything comes from there. But when we realize this Krishna's position as the absolute truth, then there is no more misunderstanding. Everything goes away. All this is indicating only one thing. What's that? The indication is this, that there are two things, tyagam and bhogam. Tyagam means sacrificing things. Bhogam means acquiring sense enjoyment. Out of these two, which one is more important? The Shastras are saying that the happiness you will obtain from tyagam or by sacrificing things, you will not get from bhogam. You will not get from bhogam. Because tyagam or sacrificing something in life, anything in this world, is the one that makes us more situated on a spiritual platform. On a spiritual platform. In other words, one after the other, when one gives up to attachment to different things in this world, it can be in any form, every step he is getting closer to the soul. Whereas on the other hand, bhogam, which is in relationship with the body, that will only get him more and more entangled in the material life. And that little smitten sense gratification, what he is getting from there, he will not be able to enjoy it very much. That's the main point. So, in order to mention this, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are some personalities brought in. If you look at the gopis themselves, what did Krishna do first? In order that gopis understand the spiritual life properly, initially they were looking for sense enjoyment with Krishna. They came to Krishna with purpose of sense enjoyment. So therefore, what did Krishna do? The first opportunity Krishna got, he decided to appear in front of them and then disappear from there. Krishna is the supreme soul, the soul. When one comes contact with Krishna, our material understanding goes away. Material consciousness changes, in other words. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look there, you will find in the 29th chapter, there was a statement. Gopis were hearing the flute. They were hearing the flute. Nishamya gidam tadananga vardhanam vrajastriyaha krishna grihida manasaha ajagmuranyunya alakshidodhyamaha sayatra kando javalola kundalaha. So Deva Goswami is saying, when they started the rasa dance, 29th chapter is the rasa dance begins. Nishamya gidam tadananga vardhanam vrajastriyaha krishna grihida manasaha ajagmuranyunya lakshidodhyamam sayatragando javalola kundalaham. When they heard, the gopis heard the flute, the playing of the flute, tadananga vardhanam. Anangam has different meanings. One meaning is their lusty desires have increased. Kamam has increased in them. On the other hand, that if your ananga vardhanam means also there is another meaning to it. Some acharyas have spoken about it. That the bodily consciousness goes away. Sharira bhodam. That goes away from a person. So, gopis experienced the first time this when they heard the sound of the flute. The first instance when Krishna invited them to come for rasa dance, and when they played the flute, when Krishna played the flute, it had the immediate impact on the gopis, and that was in this way, that they lost their bodily identity. Then, then Krishna came, Krishna was dancing with them, and for a long time the dancing continued, and then suddenly Krishna disappeared again. Meanwhile, they have already once experienced associating with the Supreme Truth, Absolute Truth. And what did they say? Patishudanvaya bradra bandhava adivilangyadin achuda gedaha gedividastavodgida mohida kidavayoshida kastijen nishi. You will see in the Govya Gidam, the gopis are saying, patishudanvaya bradra bandhava adivilanghaden achuda gadaham. That we have given up the our relationships, connections with so many entities. For example, our husbands, our children, our brothers, and our other relatives. Gopis are saying here. We have given up all that relationship with all these personalities. Why? Patisudhanvaya bhradrubandhava. It is very difficult to give up that relationship with all these personalities, with all these relatives. Especially husband, wife, husband, the children. And that's what the gopis have done. For what? Achyuta gadaha. To go to Achyuta, to go to Krishna. So having done that, and how could they do that? They could only do that because they had experienced the taste of Krishna when they heard the sound of the flute. They experienced Krishna at that point the first time. So Krishna gave them some taste, then he disappeared. Then he gave them some taste again, right into the middle of rasa dance, he came back again. So every time gopis were experiencing this from the the association with Krishna. What is it when you associate with Krishna? What happens? What happens to us when you associate with Krishna directly? This was their experience. Gopis have started becoming becoming more disconnected from material life in material world, and their attachment to Krishna was increasing. So later on, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam again when gopis, Krishna didn't bother. After Krishna disappeared from rasa dance, he came back again, danced with them, told them so many things. Little by little, they were experiencing what is Krishna. But then again, when Krishna left Vrindavanam, they started crying again. That the separation they started experiencing much more intensely by now. So when that intense separation came, Krishna sent Uddhava to them, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you know, when Uddhava was directed to go to the gopis to talk about it. And when Uddhava came to Krishna, that Uddhava was saying to them, Uddhava, already gopis were saying, Nakali gobiganandano bhavan, akila dehinam andaral madrak. By now gopis have understood who Krishna is. Who is Krishna? Our soul inside. That is Krishna. That is Krishna's part and parcel. Nakali gobiganandano bhavan. You are not the son of gopis. At least you see how they are progressing in their spiritual life. Gopis also. This is how it is. In the beginning, they didn't have any idea, any clue who is what. They just took Krishna as one among them and they started relating with Krishna in that way. But step by step, Krishna started giving them a little bit taste of spiritual life. The spiritual realizations came to them. And so he will give them a little bit of taste and then he will disappear and he comes back again. Again he will disappear. In that way, so every time gopis' reaction to that, you can read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how they were reacting. So here you will see gopis are saying, that Padisudhanva Nakali Gobiganandano Bhavan, you are not Yashoda Devi's son, but Akila Dehinam Andar Alma Drak, the supreme soul who is situated inside everyone, Andar Alma Drak, who is witnessing the activities. So by now gopis have started in connecting with Krishna in a different way rather than the original way. So again they felt the separation because they were saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, whatever it may be, he may be the super soul, everything, but when we don't see that form of Krishna, we are finding it very difficult to live here. Radharani started speaking like that to Krishna. That's where Brahmanagidam and all in the Bhagavatam 10th canto comes. When Radharani expressed her intense feelings for Krishna, for not able to see that form of Krishna. It was then that when Uddhava was sent there, in order to make them understand who is Krishna. This has to be always repeated to us. Otherwise we'll forget it. What will happen to us is, we'll look at the form and think that this is everything. And we'll get stuck there. But Krishna didn't want the gopis to be stuck in that way. No doubt gopis have tremendous attachment for Krishna's form. So when Uddhava came, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully, you'll find there some statements. Sukadeva Goswami about Uddhavam Pujayam Chakro Nyatvalmanam Adhokshajam. After Uddhava has spoken to the gopis who Krishna is, and when the gopis realized who is Krishna,
the words are coming out like this. Uddhavam pujayam chakru yatvalpanam adhokshajam. They started worshipping Uddhava. They were glorifying Uddhava, offering their respects to him, realizing what? Yatvalpanam adhokshajam. Adhokshajan is Krishna. That Krishna is our soul. Inside he is there. There is no separation from Krishna. So this is their understanding. That is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see the gopis changing mood along with the training, what Krishna was offering them all the time. So when one comes to that position, then the separation feeling goes away. There is no separation after that. Gopis never complained about the separation after that. That's why it said, Uddhavam pujayam chakru yatva alpanam adhokshajam. That who is this soul inside? Who is this soul? What is inside us? When we don't realize it, who it is, then we get absorbed in the body and start looking for pleasure elsewhere. That's why we mentioned before that all these facilities in this world what we are living today, the temples, the devotees, the different opportunities to associate with souls, all these things are very much on a external level to support you, but ultimately taking advantage of all these things, if you don't jump inside and start seeing him there, this spiritual life will one day collapse. Why? Because as much as the external situation changes, your spiritual life will be affected. So if you want to protect your own spiritual life safety, or in other words, not to fall from spiritual position, it is important to realize the Krishna's position inside as the Supreme Soul who is present inside. External things can always change. The temples will change. The holy places will change. Even personalities whom you are depending upon for support, they can change. They can go. They may disappear from here, or they may leave Krishna consciousness. So many things can happen in spiritual life. But while they are there, if you keep on thinking about them all the time, not realizing this connection with Krishna inside, it can happen that one day you could be disappointed. But Krishna, knowing very well, wanted to make gopis realize this point. That's why it said there, Uddhavam pujayam chakru yatvalpanam adhokshajam. Adhokshajam. That Krishna inside is the most important thing. That realization is very important. And once you have tasted that, then there is no more going back, because this is permanent there. It cannot fall. It's the only thing that's permanent in this creation. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is temporary. So you will find here now, Uddhava is also in the same situation. So far, 112 years with Krishna, spend the time, enjoyed very much association with Krishna, thought that it is permanent all the time. But now a time has come, it is all going to change. Let's start with that. Then, and so the whole beginning of Ekadasha Skandam, the 7th chapter, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Krishna is telling Uddhava, that the beginning of Bhagavadam, in what we saw here, that Sri Bhagavan Vacha, first verse, Yadha tamam mahabhaga tachigirshidameva me brahma bhavo logabala survasam me abhigankshinaha. First thing what Arjuna Krishna says to Uddhava is that yadarthamam mahabhaga tachigirshidameva me. Whatever you have told me, because what did Uddhava say to Krishna? I am very seriously doubting that you are preparing to leave. This was the first shock Uddhava had. And that shock has come out and said in the form like this, that Naham davangriyamalam shanardam abhigeshava tetum samulsahe nadha sudhamanayamamavi. Take me with you wherever you are. Just like children say to the father, that wherever you are going, it doesn't matter where you are going, I'll also come with you. Sometimes children say like that, isn't it? Father will say, will try to avoid the child, saying he wants to go and enjoy with his friends or something. So he'll say to him, I'm going to the shop to get something. If son will say, I also want to come with you. So father will say, no, no, I can't take you because there is some problem in the way or this, that and the other. So he will say, no, why can't I come? Sometimes it's very difficult to convince the children that way. So in the same way, Uddhava is also saying to Krishna, doesn't matter where you are going, I'm coming with you. So, there's no problem, he says, because I am not fearful of other things, what you are talking about, that what will happen to me in Maya or anything. That doesn't worry me because I have no fear about that. I had such a close association with you for so long. That fear has gone away from my mind. But still, this fear has come now, that Krishna is leaving me. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, your thoughts is true. That whatever you have thought in your mind, tachikirshita vevame yadharthamam, that is yadhartham, it is truth. Why? Brahma bhavo logapalaha. All the Brahma, Lord Shiva and other logapalas, means who are the maintain this creation, they all wants me to come back now, go back to my abode. Because I have come here on their request, isn't it? They requested me to come, I had come. And I have done everything what I have to do here. So what's what he's saying? Brahma bhavo logapala sarvasame abhigangshina. They would like me to go back to my abode because they feel that the purpose for which I have come here has been completed. Then he says, maya nishpadidam yatra devakaryam asheshadaha yadartham avadirnoham amshenam brahmanartidaha. Then, maya nishpadam hetra devagaryam asheshada. I only come here for their purpose because it's they who have asked me to come. And I feel that I have completed that purpose for which I was asked to come here. My purpose of coming here because they had so much difficulty with personalities like Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupala, Nandavatra and so many others who were making their life very hard for them. So because they have requested me to come, I had come. And also the Duryodhana and that group, that also were giving a lot of trouble for them. So in order to clear all those problems, I have done all that what I have to do. Mayanishpa devagaryam asheshada. Everything is completed. Yadartham avadirnoham amshenam brahmanartidaham. That my purpose of coming down was Brahma has requested me to come, and purpose of Brahma's request also has been completed. He says here, kulam vaishavanardhagdham nangshetanyo anyu vigrahad samudra saptame nyedam purim japlavayishyadim. Kulam vaishavanardhagdham. Afterwards, I have also decided that this family of Yadavas, who are also developing into be a problem for this world, kulam, I have also decided to finish them up because they are already under the curse from the Brahmanas, isn't it? Kulambai Shabanardagdham. The Shabam is already there with them. Nangshet Yanyoni Vigrahad. They have already started fighting each other. By now in Prabhasam, the fight has started between the Yadavas. Nangshet Yanyoni Vigrahad. Mutually, they have started fighting each other and they are also going to be, they are also going to be eliminated from here. You can see, when the bad time comes, the Yadavas thought to go away from Krishna, isn't it? When that bad time has come, so they said, they took the instructions from Krishna that they should go to Prabhasam and engage in their rituals, whatever they were meant to do to please the sages, and that way they were thinking of getting rid of the curse and to enjoy further again after that. But Uddhava, on the other hand, thought that whatever may be the hard time in life, in whatever difficulties come in life, the right thing to do is to stay with Krishna, not to go away. Especially when there was an opportunity to do so. So it's also an instruction to us that no matter what somebody tells us, that do this, do that in different times, in difficult times, the right solution to all the difficult times is to stay in Krishna consciousness. Not to go after others' instruction. There is no other instruction to be followed. The right instruction is to stay with Krishna when difficulties come in life. And that's what Uddhava has done. Through Uddhava, Krishna, Uddhava is the devotee. Devotee acts like that. Uddhava realized it. That whatever may be the problem, doesn't matter. With the other, there is a curse, let the curse come. So what? This was Uddhava's mood. So long as I am with Krishna, no curse can touch me. Because he knew that everything was prompted by Krishna. This understanding he had. Yadavas didn't have that. Yadavas didn't have that. This was the problem. Whereas Uddhava knew that Krishna has prompted this. So if that is the case, the solution is to stay with Krishna. So therefore, he stayed with Krishna. He didn't go. This is the reason why he didn't go. That is Uddhava's intelligence. We remember, we discussed how intelligent Uddhava is. Able to analyze these things properly and to act in the proper way. Next place. Yahyovayam mayatitva logoyam ashtamangalaha bhavishyadi ajiral sadho kalina api nirakridaham. Yahyovayam mayatitva logoyam ashtamangalaham. Once I leave this world, Krishna says, Yahyovayam mayatitva. As soon as I leave this world, Logoyam Ashtamangala, all the auspicious things from this world will go, will disappear. There is no more. Bhavishyadi Ajiral Sadho Kalina Api Nirakridaham. The Kali Yugam will begin. Kali will take control of this world. And as soon as he takes control of this world, Bhavishyadi Ajiral Sadho Kalina Api Nirakridaham. That everything will change in this world. Everything will change in this world. This is where Kali Yuga has begun. At that point, Kali Yuga has begun in this world. And with the advent of Kali, Krishna is saying there, all that is, what is auspicious in this world will go. What is auspicious in this world will go. Because only due to Krishna's presence, this world was worth living. World was worth a place living because of Krishna's presence. Otherwise, it's not a place worth living. This is what Krishna is pointing out to Uddhava. So, your doubt about my departure is true. And whatever you have mentioned to me is also true, that I am preparing to leave. And when I leave this planet, immediately the Kali Yuga will come and take over this place. Kalina pinirakridaham. Kali Yuga will begin. And with the result that what Krishna is saying in the next verse, Namastavyam to yaiveha mayatitve mahitale jano adharmarajir bhadra bhavishyadi kalau yuge. Krishna, what he had to say about Kali Yugam, he said in one verse. In the Dwadashaskandam, in the Canto 12, later on, you will find the nature of Kali Yugam, a detailed, very elaborate explanation of Kali Yugam, how people's intelligence will change, mind will change, and how their relationships will change, how their response to this world will change. So many things will change. But Kriya, Krishna is saying, Namastavyam toyeveha mayatritve mahitale. When I leave this world, what will happen is, that mayatritve mahitale yato jano adharmarajir bhadra. That people will become very irreligious. That is the first thing that will happen. Irreligiosity will grow in this world. What does it mean, irreligiosity means? We'll always wonder, isn't it? We all think we are very religious, aren't we? So when you see Krishna's definition of this, adharmarujir bedram kalina api nirakradaham. So adharmarujir bedra, somehow or the other, they will develop a taste for irreligiosity. They will develop a taste for irreligiosity. What does religiosity mean? In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we discussed this, isn't it? Satyam, Shaujam, Daya, Tapas. These are the four legs of religious principles, isn't it? Satyam, Shaujam, Daya, Tapas. Satyam means truthfulness. Shaujam means cleanliness. Tapas means austerities. And Daya means mercifulness to other living entities. These are the four things. So, Krishna says here, jano adharma rujir bhadra. Adharmam will come. In other words, these four things will go from the society. Adharma rujir bhadra. You can see that. It doesn't require much of an intelligence to understand this. In this age, if you look at people, often you will find this. I'm sure all of you had this experience, which like I had, about this. Even if there is no need, people tell lies. Even if it's not necessary, they'll tell lies. Absolutely no need, but they'll still, they say, it's like that. What can you do? Jeno adharmarujar bhadra. Because they have lost it, that truthfulness from them. Without any reason, absolutely no problem in telling lies. This is Kali Yuga. This is the beauty of Kali Yuga. And then tell lie, cover up with another lie, and then goes on and on about it, and they're all gentlemen. That's the beauty of it. Absolutely no shame in doing it also. Why? Because it's become a part of the life, and they think it's perfectly okay to do that. Jano adharma rujir bhadra. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this is not the place to be here. This is not the right place to live. Because in this, among these people, if you have to live here, listening to all their lies all the time, it's not very pleasant, is it? That you are talking to people and they tell you so many things, and a lot of it comes out to be lie. Everyone is lying. Businessmen are lying, politicians are lying, individuals are lying, and it has become acceptable in the society to lie. So, satyam, dharmam, satyam, daya, shaujam, tapas, four things. So, this is the situations with satyam, the truthfulness. Take for example, shaujam. Shaujam, better not to discuss about shaujam. Shaujam means cleanliness. Cleanliness of what? Both inside, outside. Both are shaujam, isn't it? Outside shaujam, that standard is changed now. That outside shaujam is different now. The shaujam today is make the body smell nicely, isn't it? Put a lot of perfumes and makes it smell nicely, and you think you're very clean because I'm smelling nicely. Whether you take bath or not, that's another issue. But as long as the perfume is there, you are pure. Then inside shaujam, better not to talk. If outside shaujam is like that, the same duplicity is inside also. Inside shaujam. So shaujam has become like that. Keeping clean, keeping simple, keeping pure, inside, outside, that's gone from the society. Everyone thinks that they are very clean because scientists have said that you have no germs in the body and you are pure. So that's the purity what we are talking about. But in Bhagavadam, this Shaujam, what he is talking about, the cleanliness of not only the body, but as well as the mind as well inside. You can be holding very big positions in this world. You could be holding big positions in this world. Lot of people may be worshipping you because you have got so much money or a position. And you are thinking that person, because he is holding that position, that that person is pure, shaujam. But there is no shaujam in him, because the whole thing his mind is working on, he is exploiting others, and also how to exploit the material nature and to make a comfortable sense gratification in this world. So that's not shaujam. Shaujam is that kind of mind where one is free from any kind of sense gratification. Satyam shaujam, daya. Daya, better not to say, it's easy to understand what our merciful, how merciful we are to each other. Isn't it? We see in this world all the time our mercy flowing freely everywhere. How merciful we are to each other. And as long as it suits us, we will support all these high values. The moment our sense gratification is disturbed a little bit, our daya will flow to the window, fly to the window straight away. So daya will go. Satyam, shauja, dayam, tapas. Tapas means austerity. Austerity means that ability to give up material activities and to be fixed up in spiritual life. Voluntarily giving up, that is tapas. Not forced. Not forced, voluntarily accepting renunciation and to be fixed up in spiritual consciousness. That is tapas. So satyam shaujam, daya tapas, all four things continuously decreases in Kali Yuga. Krishna says, as soon as he leaves this planet. So now starts Krishna's first verse to Arjuna. This verse which next comes is the whole Ekadasha Skandam. It is in this one verse, which is the verse number 6. In this verse, whole Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna has put in one word, in 132 letters, that verse. All the great philosophers in the Vedic tradition have followed this pattern. What is that pattern? Whatever they have to say to this world, first they will give an introduction to it in one verse. Then they will expand on that in many, many different episodes, examples, and through different philosophers, quotations, personalities. Then they will expand this one thing they have spoken. They will expand on that on a big level. After expanding that, they will conclude the whole thing from everything together. They will summarize it and they will finish it. And this is what Krishna has done in Ekadasha Skandam. So it is this verse that is going to be expanded from now on. Let us look at that verse. This is the first bomb to Uddhava. The first bomb from Krishna. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu mayaveshyamana samyak samadrik vijarasvagam. This is the first verse Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Tundu sarvam parityajya, give up everything now, he says to Uddhava. Remember, Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. Krishna is 125 years old. When I say 125 years old, means 125 years he has been in the planet. Uddhava, same age, staying with him. When Krishna spoke to Arjuna, if you remember, when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, take the arm and weapon and fight now. Arjuna says to Krishna, I want to take sannyas and go. Isn't it? Arjuna says to Krishna, that I don't want to fight. Why should I fight with these people? They're all my relatives, friends, society. This Krishna says, no, you can't. Even if you want to give up, you can't give up. Your propensity will force you to fight. You are going to fight. So there, Krishna says to Arjuna, that karmanneva adhika araste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma bhalahe durbhur mado sangost akarmani. You cannot stay without karma. He says to Krishna, Krishna says to Arjuna, you cannot stay without doing karma even for a second. I also do karma all the time. This is what Krishna said to Arjuna. Isn't it? If you remember in the third chapter, Krishna saying to Arjuna, you have to fight, you have to do the duty, whatever you are a kshatriya, you have to act. To Uddhava, Krishna is saying, don't even think about any karma anymore. See? To Uddhava, Krishna is saying, that even the thought of doing any karma, let it not happen to you. Tvandu sarvam parityajyam. And because why karma happens to people? Because of sneham svajana bandushu. Sneham svajana bandushu. Because of the attachment to one's own people. Svajanam and bandushu. That means one's family, wife, children, husband, father, mother, brother, sister, all these kind of things. And bandushu, relatives, all of them. Krishna says to Arjuna, in one stroke, finish it up. Don't keep it anymore in your heart. So, Uddhava started thinking, this is too much. This was enough for Uddhava. He was thinking that Uddhava thought Krishna might tell him something, that how he could come back to spiritual world. But here he is starting, this first thing itself is to break all the connections to the rest of the world. Break all the connections to the rest of the world. Because, tvandu sarvam parityajya, give up every attachment to this world. What? Sneham svajana bandushu. That your so-called love for svajanam and bandushu. All your attachment to everything in this world, give it up now. Krishna says to Arjuna. Let's look at it. Why Krishna said this? Krishna was saying this one point because our mind today is attached to various things. Isn't it? Attached to various things. First of all, I'm concerned about myself, about me. One circle. If you expand that circle a little more, it becomes my wife. Expand it a little bit further, it includes my children. and expand it a little bit more, other relatives. Expand it a little bit more, the community. Expand it a little bit further than that, the whole society, what we live. Or you can say the village, or the county, or the country. And like this, it grows, grows and grows. Further and further, isn't it? Step by step, this connection is growing. Sneham Sajana Bandushu, this is what Krishna is talking about. That to all these things, in everything, there is this connection, they are mine, isn't it? My wife, my children, my husband, my wife, my father, my brother, my uncle, my aunt, my this, my house, my country, my football club even. And like this it goes on and on. Where is the end? Tell me, where is the end to this? This my goes on and on. If you think and sit and think one day, you will think, someone whom you had some dealings before, who hates you to the maximum, who is your enemy, number one, you can call him. Even to him, you will put the cloak, this hook on him, my enemy. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? He is my enemy. You'll say, he is my enemy number one. So, where this hook called mine, everything you have put this hook on everything, isn't it? Wife, children, family, friends, relatives, this society, whatever is left. Krishna says, as long as this hook is there in all these places, don't think about coming back with me. That's the first warning to Arjuna. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu. Swajana bandushu. Swajanam and bandushu. These are the two category who will give the maximum trouble for you at the time of leaving this body. Due to Maya, we think that they are the ones who are going to protect us at the time of death. Isn't it? We all think, oh, I got my children, he will look after me. Or I got my brothers and sisters, I got such a big family, I have 8-10 brothers, 5 or 6 sisters or whatever. Somebody will be there and all they will all come to me at the time of death. And they will all stand around my bed. And they will be waiting, counting inside, when is this man going to go? This is what they will be thinking inside at that time. When, how soon? It's been a problem for us for so many weeks and months. And he's not dying still. Inside this is the thoughts. Outside they will come hold your hand and say, how are you? How are you feeling? All this drama we have to go through at the time of death. Isn't it? This is a common throughout the world. It's not only here it happens. All through the world, from Los Angeles to Sydney, this is what's happening. Nothing else. And they'll come with flowers. They'll come with... Krishna says, if you hang on with them, you're finished. You're stuck with them. There's no hope of escaping from them. So, in the Bhagavatam, in order to illustrate this point, these 4 episodes are spoken. In the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam is nothing but liberation won't come otherwise. If you want liberated and want to be with the friends and the family all the time, it's not going to work. Because you're not going to take them with you there to the spiritual world, even if you go. Whether we go or not, that's another thing. But even if you go, this not, better not to hope that this all my family is going to come with me there to set up my business and to set up my all other activities there. That's not going to happen. So Krishna says here, Tum du sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu. That is the, in this verse, there are 4 things spoken. 4 things Krishna has spoken. What are they? First thing is this, Tum du sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu. That is the first step. Secondly, Maya Veshyamana. Absorb your mind in me. Nothing else. Absorb your mind in me. Then, how? Samyak. Samyak means in such a way that it will not again fall away from that. It will not again fall away from there. This is important. Sometimes we think for a few seconds, Krishna, isn't it? In life, sometimes when we are in distress or when we had some feeling came to you that, oh, you have to remember Krishna, or something happens and some thoughts came to you, Krishna. That's not samyak. Mayaveshya mana. Mind should be absorbed in Krishna. Krishna's name, Krishna's forms. This is what basically referring to. Holy name and the Krishna's form. And then after that, samyak. Samyak means it should stay there. It should not fall from there again. Then after that, samadrik. Samadrik means seeing Krishna in everything. And Krishna says to Uddhava, after that, vijarasva gam. You walk in this world without a care for anything. Without a care for anything. So, this one verse, tamdu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu, number one, mayaveshyamana, number two, samyak, number three, samadrik, number four, vijarasvagam, walk through this world. This was the first instance, first instruction from Krishna to Uddhava. From Krishna to Uddhava. So, Uddhava started thinking at this point, is this something which I have to do at this point in life, in my life? Obviously, you can see that for that stage in life for Uddhava, there was no point in talking about karmam, is it? Karmam is finished for Uddhava. What do you say to a person who is 125 years old? Talk about karmam at that time to him, or you got all this karmam to perform. So karmam is virtually finished for Uddhava. So you can see that while talking to Arjuna, it refers to a person at a particular time in life. This is important. That the instruction does not remain the same throughout life. It has to move on, depending on one's position. At a particular time in life, one has to know where he is in his life. He should not come and start thinking, oh, I went to Hare Krishna temple, and they told me I should start chanting and doing service all the time. And I am 65 years old. And how long I do this service, I don't have to worry about everything else. That is not Krishna consciousness is to be understood. Spiritual life is very progressive. In other words, there is a time in life certain things to be done. And a time in life when you have to renounce them. If you keep on holding to karmam throughout life, and at the very fag end of your life, if you still are getting absorbed in karmam, that is not the proper understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why we have these two examples, Krishna in the Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam? In order to show that adhigari bhedam, that means your qualification, what you are qualified for to do at that particular thing, particular time in life. That's what's more important. So here you can see Uddhava is concerned, there is no more karmam to be executed. That stage is over. What is now required is breaking away from all these things. So Krishna's first words to him was, tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham sujana bandushu mayaveshyamana samyak samadrik vijaraswagam. We must all remember this particular verse all the time, because if you remember this verse, you can remember Ekadashaskandam. Ekadashaskandam is centered around this one verse. The key, what do they call the key verse, isn't it? It is expanded, that's all. In other the rest of 29 chapters or something, whatever it is in the Ekadashaskandam, is nothing but an expansion of this one verse. Tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham svajane bandushu mayaveshyamana samyak samadrik vijaraswagam. You will see four different episodes happening later, which I talked about it before. What are they? Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Ayula Gita and Bhikshu Gita. Four Gita we spoke, isn't it? In Ekadasham there are four Gitas, four different songs. And those four songs are related to these four things. The Dattatreya Gita was spoken in order to understand how to do this. Which one? Tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu. How to give up the attachment to this world. Or in other words, how to develop vairagyam. That's what it means, isn't it? Vairagyam. Tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu. How svajana bandushu, attachment to one's own family and relatives, how to break away from that. That is what is spoken. Ekadasha skandam, when you hear, you may think it is absolutely impossible to do it, isn't it? Because for us, when we hear all these Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavadam, we will think, at least let me finish this life, we'll see in the next life. In this life, it's not possible. This will be the first answer. Secondly, we will also see that if I have to go through all these things to go back to Krishna, that is too much for me to do. Generally, that will be the our mind. And strictly speaking, this is not possible for us also. We have to also recognize we are ordinary people. We don't have that strength to do what Krishna is asking us to do. So even Uddhava was finding it difficult. In other words, this is Krishna's standard of sannyasam. This one verse, what it says, this is what Krishna talks. When Krishna says sannyasam means this is. So you will see later on, when Uddhava answered this, when Uddhava heard 4 or 5 verses now on, which was mentioned as the bombs from Krishna, after hearing those verses, if you look at Uddhava's answer to that, what did Uddhava say? Uddhava says here, Uddhava Vacha, verse 14 if you look, he says here, Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa Yogatman Yoga Sambhava Nishreyasaya Yame Prokta Tyagam Sanyasa Lakshana. Whatever you have spoken to me, is it not sannyasam? He is saying. Uddhava is asking to Krishna, this what you have said to me in the last few verses, there are more things, we'll come to that later. That is that not all sannyasam, he says to Krishna. In other words, when Krishna says sannyasam means, this is what Krishna means by that. This is what Krishna means by sannyasam means. Sannyasam means this. Tandu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrak vijaraswagam. And that is the first expectation, Krishna's standard of sannyasam. Unfortunately, it is very difficult to find that sannyasam today in this world. That sannyasam doesn't exist. For many, many years, the sannyasa ashram which has been practiced in this world has deteriorated in many ways. And in the Kali Yugam, with the advent of Kali, along with other things, what we mentioned, it has affected sannyasa ashram also. It's not that it is free from that. Every ashram, what to talk about sannyasa ashram? Brahmachari ashram, grahastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyasa ashram. All the 4 ashramas are also affected. As much as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, they are affected. 4 varnas are affected. 4 ashramas are also affected. So when we today look into this world and when we start wondering where would you find an ideal grahastha or ideal sannyasi or ideal brahmachari, that is very difficult to find. Because none of us are able to come to that standard what Krishna has set. What Krishna has set is the benchmark. That is the standard what Krishna is expecting from a sannyasi. But because it is in relationship with sannyasam that Krishna has spoken, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, is this possible for me? It is not possible for me. A personality like Uddhava is saying to Krishna, it's difficult for me to take sannyas. Think about those who are taking sannyasam and saying that they have reached the perfection. Whereas that sannyasi is. And because the sannyasa ashram got deteriorated to such a level, if you remember, Prabhupada was also at one point saying about it, that the sannyasis who used to visit home when his father lived, father used to receive many sannyasis. And Prabhupada was observing them, their behavior, their activities. And he noticed that virtually sannyasa ashram has degraded to such a level that it has simply become livelihood. A livelihood. And he had so much unhappiness about that sannyasis didn't want to see them or talk to them. That was in Prabhupada's childhood. From then now, nearly 100 years have gone almost. And with the result of that, now what do sannyasis do? What do we see? At least I know what happens in India. When a sannyasi gets ill, first thing he takes a flight to America to get treated. This is what the sannyasis of the modern world do. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrak vijaraswagam. Krishna is saying to this person that if you have understood sannyasa ashram, how it has to be retained in the modern world, sannyasa ashram is like this. The sannyasis are maintaining the highest wealth in some of the instances. And they have become the ideals in this world. What will happen to sannyasa ashram by the end of Kali Yuga? Imagine that. Tumdu sarvam parityajya. Krishna says, give up all our connections with this world. Because once you come to sannyasa ashram, that is what is expected from a person. Sneham sujana bandushu. Attachment to all the family, so-called. For them, this world exists, not in the form of family, or the society, or the country, or this or that. That is all gone from their life, once for all. They've said goodbye to that. And today, what do you find? You find sannyasis are identifying with these things much more deeper level than anyone else. This is what's happening. Soham sojana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrik vijaraswagam. That vijaraswagam is finished. Vijaraswagam today is only where the flight is available, they'll go there. They won't go anywhere else. Only this is the modern sannyasam. So what can you do? This is Bhagavadam is saying something. Srimad Bhagavadam is saying very explicitly. And Uddhava understood that it is not possible for me to practice this sannyasam. Sanyasam, tyagam, sanyasa lakshanam. He says here, isn't it? Proktasthyaga, sanyasa lakshanaha. Simply tyagam or sacrifice is the standard of sanyasam. Nothing else. Yogesha yoga vinyasa, yogalpman yoga sambhavaha. Nishresa isame prokta, tyagam, sanyasa lakshanaha. So sanyasa lakshanam is like that. And Dattatreya Gita was spoken in the Srimad Bhagavadam in order to teach us what is a proper sannyasi standard is. Uddhava asked a question, is there one sannyasi? Have you seen anyone like that? So there, Krishna brings the, Krishna says, I have seen one sannyasi who lived like that. Let me talk to you about him. And that is what the whole, the Dattatreya Gita, which will come immediately after this, when this chapter. So, the Dattatreya Gita, this sannyasi, the Dattatreya Maharshi, who is in the Avadhuta form, Avadhuta sannyasi he is. You can, if you observe him, his activities and his relationship with the world, you will notice that that person absorbs his mind 24 hours in Krishna. 24 hours in Krishna. Never separated from that under any circumstances. Lot of things to learn from him. So much to learn from him that he is seeing this whole world nothing but a place to see what he has realized already. What these instructions. He has already realized them. And he is seeing that through all the time in all the living entities in this world. He has nothing else to learn from here except this point, one point what Krishna has spoken. Tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham sujana bandushu. This is the only thing he had to say to the world. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to establish certain standard for everything. And this sannyasam, this kind of sannyasam what Krishna has spoken here to Uddhava was practically impossible for Uddhava to execute. Now, let us look at the remaining 3-4 verses also. How Krishna talks about sannyasam. Yadidam manasa vacha chakshubhyam shravanadivi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. Very, very powerful words. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadivi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. Vidhi maya manomayam. So earlier you have seen tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandushu. When Krishna says sneham sojana bandushu, sneham means love, isn't it? Sneham means love. You may ask this question, is giving love to all the other relatives and friends, is that a wrong thing? It is not a wrong thing. But what the problem is this. When you give your love based on the body, that they are my relatives, friends, that is not sneham. That is called in Sanskrit, it's called mamata. It is attachment. Sneham is not wrong. Sneham is not wrong. Mamata is bad. Mamada is attachment based on the body. Sneham, on the other hand, should be there not only to friends and relatives and family members, but to the whole world. That is what is required. In the final stage, you will see that a pure devotee or realized soul, he has love for all the living entities. He does not discriminate. This is my relative, so I love him. That's my enemy, so I hate him. This will go at that point. So, sneham swajana bandhusho means that the sneham should not turn in, develop into mamata. Mamata means attachment on a bodily level. On the other hand, if the sneham is extended to all the living entities in this world and is able to love all the living entities, which can only happen when one sees Krishna with another living entity. Otherwise it won't happen, isn't it? Because we develop ragam and dvesham. Ragam means attachment and dvesham means aversion. So attachment, aversion to other living entities is based on the body. Once that goes away, sneham will come. Love will come to all the other living entities when one realizes that Krishna is present in that living entity as well, who is giving us all the trouble, but still we have to feel in that way towards him. So, Jamdusarvam Paritaja Sneham Swajana Bandhushu means that sneham is not a wrong thing, but it should not be only purely for the family members and relatives and community. That's all false. That is mamada. That is not sneham. They are two different things. So, here, Krishna is saying here, that mayaveshyamana, that you should address, bring your mind towards me, attach your mind to me, and samyak. Samyak means that it should stay there. It should not drop from there for a second again. That means liberated already. If your mind is completely absorbed in Krishna, it's liberated. Samadrik, with the result will be that you will be samadrik. Samadrik means equal vision. If you see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about that. Remember? Vidya vinaya sampanni, brahmane gavihastini, shuni jaiva shubha geja, pandita samadarshinaha. Samadarshitam. Equal vision will come. While when we look in Bhagavad Gita, when you see this verse, people look at the photo, there's a picture devotees have drawn there, isn't it? A person sitting on top of an elephant, and the brahmana standing, a sannyasi standing there with a rod in the hand, in sannyasi clothes, and an elephant sannyasi clothes, and then there's also a dog eater, they're all there. And if you remember in that picture, they have shown the spirit soul, Krishna's presence in everyone. One picture has shown. So we think, one day it will happen like that, isn't it, for us also. But the difficulty is that this is not something which will happen so easily. Unless we churn Ekadashaskandam inside, if we churn Ekadasham inside very well, and cultivate it day by day very strongly, that stage will not happen. It will not easily happen. Some personalities in the past who studied Ekadasham very well, and eventually they realized the potency of Ekadashaskandam in relationship with liberation, they wanted to test it, if it is true or not, what Krishna has spoken. And from their experience, they realized that it is a fact of life, what Krishna has spoken here in this verse. Samdhu sarvam varitaja sneham swajana bandhushu. There was a very famous Bhagavadam speaker. Many years ago, he left this world. He came from also from a very highly cultured Brahmana family and a fairly wealthy family as well. It so happened due to his good fortune, he had met with some great devotees, and with their mercy he got interested in Srimad Bhagavatam so much that he became completely absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the result was that whatever transcendental qualities that was discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam, he started coming to him. They started manifesting in him because of his seriousness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in due course, it so happened that Ekadashaskandam became his life and soul. Having read Ekadasham for thousands and thousands of time and reflecting on it again and again and again, he came to realize that Ekadasham must be true. Ekadasham cannot be wrong. And he wanted to experience it before he left this world. So often what he did was, he would come to the temple and he will see the deity, Krishna's deity there. And he will pay his obeisances to Krishna. And devotees who have studied Ekadasham, when they pay their obeisances to Krishna, their obeisances is not like the way we pay obeisances. When we pay obeisances, it's just like hardly head touches and gets up straight away. We have no time because we are so busy. Our mind is gone to somewhere else by now. So we leave that. But there, the proper way of paying obeisances to Krishna, they followed that very strictly those days. And while paying obeisances with a complete understanding, who is Krishna, who am I, that relationship with Krishna, so many things, with all proper understanding, they paid their obeisances to Krishna. While paying their obeisances to Krishna, when you feel, when you get up after paying your obeisances, you feel a certain degree of, what do they call as the, an experience you get from that, after paying obeisances to Krishna. That realization or that experience what you receive after paying your obeisances, he started thinking, do I get the same when I pay my obeisances to other living entities? When he started thinking, if I pay my obeisances to other living entities, am I getting the same thing what I got when I paid obeisances to Krishna? Because according to Krishna's words, Vidya Vinaya Sampanna Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuni Jaiva Shobageja Pandita Samadarshinam. If my Samadarshitvam, or if my equal vision, if it has become a reality in me, if it has become a reality in me, it should happen, isn't it? Because if I become Samadarshi, or equal vision has come to me, then when I pay my obeisances to others, I should experience the same bliss what I experienced when I paid my obeisances to Krishna. After many years of this practice of Ekadasha Skandam, this devotee observed this strictly. When he saw an elephant, he said, here is Krishna in the form of elephant, I pay my obeisances to him. Here is the mahout sitting on top of the elephant, Krishna sitting on the top of the elephant in the form of mahout, I pay my obeisances to him. When he saw a dog in the street, he saw, here is Krishna sitting another as a super soul in this living entity, I pay my obeisances to him. When he saw the dog eater from the lowest class, whoever it was at those days, when he saw him, this person coming from a highly respectable Brahminical background, he pays his obeisances to him. Here is Krishna sitting as a super soul within that living entity. Every time when he paid his obeisances to each one of these living entities, he felt Krishna's presence within. He felt that presence of Krishna within, present in those living entities. And at that point he concluded that Ekadasham is absolute. Ekadasham is absolute. By practicing it and by accepting it as Krishna, the difficulty for us is, it's all theory for us. We will not accept it. We will constantly again ask questions. How can that be true? How does Krishna know it is true? If nothing is possible, we will say, oh, it is not possible for us. Or no, it is not true. It is possible for people who have done it. The many, many great personalities who have taken Ekadasha Skandam very seriously and practiced it in their life and found it to be true. And that is their next step to the liberation. They were moving in that direction, so therefore already they found out that these statements are absolute, what Krishna has spoken. So here, you find here, Mayaveshyamana Samyak Samadrak Vijarasvagam. So Samadrak is an important thing, that equal vision must come for a devotee. And that is a part of sannyasa ashram. There is nothing else to think about. Equal vision to every living entity. No friend, no enemy. That is sannyasam. No friend, no enemy. Everywhere there is Krishna. There is Krishna in everything. There is no differentiation there. Once you start differentiating, what will happen? The danger is there. What is that? Ragam and dvesham will come. Ragam means attachment to my people, my friends, my society, my disciples, my people. Dvesha means those, oh, they are my enemy, they are my against me, they are causing trouble for me, so they are my enemy. Ragam has come, dvesham has come. Once ragam and dvesham has come, this equal vision has gone straight away. It's lost there. So you can see why, how important it is in sannyasa ashram to maintain this steadiness, equanimity, samadrik. Equal vision is absolutely a must for a sannyasi. He cannot think they are my friends because they are helping me in my preaching mission or whatever it is, because they are with me. Like George Bush said, either you are with us or you are against us. That's not sannyasi's mood. That is karmi's mood. If a sannyasi develops the same mood, then what is the difference between George Bush and the sannyasi? Isn't it? Please don't find fault with George Bush. He is what he is. But from sannyasi we don't expect that behavior. From sannyasi we expect equal to all living entities. If he is taking this person as my friend and that person as my enemy, he is not a sannyasi. He is finished. There is no, because already ragam and dvesham is inside that person. Where is the sannyasam there? Where is the sannyasam there? Is that not what you see in this world today? In the name of sannyasam, how things have degraded to such a level that it's all becoming party politics, groupism, this, that and the other, and they're all sannyasis. What goes on in the name of sannyasam? Tundu sarvam parityajya, Krishna says, sneham swajana bandushu. He expects from sannyasi to move in this world freely, unaffected by anything what goes on in this world, completely detached to everything, simply delivering everyone to take Krishna consciousness seriously. That's the only business in the sannyasa ashram. That is why these verses are important. And Uddhava agreed. Uddhava understood immediately that this is not good. That I cannot do it. I haven't reached that stage yet. I haven't reached that stage. Uddhava is recognizing. Uddhava is recognizing that. I have not reached that stage yet. And he was not able to. He said to Krishna, Tyagam sannyasa lakshanam. This first thing what you have spoken is Tyagam, sacrifice. It's a symptom of a sannyasi, is it not? Krishna says, yes, it is. So Krishna's standard, if you follow, to become a proper sannyasi, first thing is to understand instructions to Uddhava, Ekadasha Skandam. Unless you study Ekadasham all the way through, your sannyasa ashram will never be perfect. Even if you get sannyasam after 2 years in waiting or 3 years in getting danda and all, that's all very good. But your standard of sannyasam will not reach what Krishna is expecting from us to be. What Krishna expects from us to be as a sannyasi, that won't be there. Just like Guru's standard, Krishna has set up already in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, already the standard of Guru has been spoken. What is a Guru means. Similarly, and that only problem is that Krishna has spoken about the Guru, and there are so many millions of Gurus available in this world. The only problem is that they are not able to come to the standard what Krishna has set up. This is the only difficulty. There is no problem otherwise. That similarly, there is no shortage of sannyasis in this world. Only problem is they are not able to reach the standard what Krishna has set up for the sannyasis. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, what Krishna said here, Jano adharma rujir bhadra. Adharmam will be the key activity in this world. So that includes all the varnam and all the ashramam in this world. There is no doubt about that. All the varnashram also will fall into that. Adharma rujir will bhadra. Bhavishyati kalau yuge. In Kali Yugam, it will be like that. Now, if you look into Bhagavadam a little bit more carefully, along with these qualities, what Krishna has spoken, these four things, please remember these four things because they will come again and again at different times and you will see the connection, what Krishna has spoken. That's why I'm saying this is the key words for Srimad Bhagavatam. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham swajane bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrak vijara swagam. And nothing but the rest remaining Bhagavatam is nothing but a elaborate expansion of this whole thing, this one verse. So, അധർമ്മരുചിർ ഭദ്ര ഭവിഷ്യതി കലൗയുഗേ. സോ അധർമ്മരുചി വിൽ കം ടു പീപ്പിൾ ആൻഡ് ദേ വിൽ ഫോളോ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ. നൗ ഹാവിംഗ് സെഡ് ദാറ്റ്, കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ഓൾസോ സെയിങ് ഹിയർ സംതിങ് ഡിഫറെന്റ്. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി ജഡ്ജ്ഡ് ഉദ്ധവ ഫ്രം എൻ ആംഗിൾ. വട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ആംഗിൾ? കൃഷ്ണ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ഫുള്ളി റൈപ്പ്, എ റൈപ്പ് ഫ്രൂട്ട് ഈസ് റെഡി ടു ഡ്രോപ്പ്. You know, when the mango is fully ripe, all it requires is just one touch by a bird, it will drop straight away, isn't it? When you look in the mango tree, I'm sure it must be the apple trees also, when they are fully ripe, when they are fully ripe, what will happen is, as soon as you touch the branch or the small twig on which the mango is hanging, just one small touch and a mango will drop straight away. Similarly, every other fruit also. That means when it is fully ripe. Here, you see, Krishna understood Uddhava is a fully ripe fruit. That is why he is giving these instructions to Uddhava. That's why he is giving these instructions to Uddhava. So, unless you are fully ripe as a fruit, you shouldn't take these instructions to the heart. In the sense that you shouldn't think, oh, I'm ready for it now, tomorrow, Krishna said like this, I'm packing up, I'm leaving now, home. And pack your bag and baggage with the credit card you are leaving for the next destination. That is not sannyasam. That will not work. Prabhupada used to make fun of some people who used to leave home. They'll make sure that the whole family is settled down very well. Now I can go. And they will do in such a way, he said like this, he said, they will live in Vrindavanam, and they'll make arrangements with the wife. No, look, my dear wife, don't come and see me anymore because I've taken sannyas. I won't come to see you. But you make sure that my pension gets transferred to my bank account in the banks in Vrindavan properly. This is the type of sannyasam today. Everyone is feeling, if they have no money, they are feeling difficulty. Isn't it? They're feeling difficulty. So they make alternate arrangements. I'm a sannyasi, fine. I got danda, I got initiation into sannyasam and everything. But you see, when you go to the bank sometimes, on the first of the month, these sannyasis are queuing up with their passbook in their hand to find out, as the amount has been credited to my account, they are checking it out. There is a loads of sannyasis in this category, in this world. Then there are much more cleverer sannyasis who are able to have a lot of others to do the work for them. Their protection and shelter in others. There's another type of sannyasis like that. Oh, I have nothing. Disciples do everything for me. They look after me. They want me to come, I'm come. They want me to do this. Tamdu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu. It doesn't come there. Doesn't fly with Krishna. All this. You can fly in this world with that, but doesn't fly with Krishna. The reason why all this is spoken in the Bhagavatam is this, that a person who wants to go back to Krishna, if he does not give up duplicity, and if he does not give this crookedness in him, and if he tries to go back to Krishna, it is going to be delayed. One day he may get there by due to some chanting the holy name and purification with association with devotees and all. It may come to that point one day. But it's not going to happen easily, so long as all these connections are there. All these connections are there. So, sneham sojane bandushu maya veshyamanam. The purpose of giving up all these things, we have discussed that before, why it is necessary to give up. Vairagyam. Vairagyam we have spoken before. It is nothing but vairagyam Krishna is talking about here, isn't it? Vairagyam. Vairagyam is the key, because without vairagyam, that jnanam, the knowledge what you have got from the books and from other people, that will not stay. That will not stay. Because you have fallen from the spiritual position already. Already you have fallen from the spiritual position because of lack of vairagyam in a person. So vairagyam is important. So in order to elaborate this point, Dattatreya Maharshi Sannyasam comes later. Krishna gives the example of Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Maharshi. So, here you will notice in the Bhagavatam that there are some important points what Krishna is referring to here. Tum tu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu mayavesya manas samyak samadrak vijara swagam. Why did he say this point was that this is a very important point. If you can keep it in your head, it's good. Normally, at the time of death, all these connections, what we have established in this world, will come to us. Will come to us. You may think, oh my God brothers and God sisters are standing around me chanting Hare Krishna. And in your mind inside, you are thinking about your relatives and friends and family. And because you don't know how the mind will work at that time. Mind will work according to your vasanas. Whatever vasanas you had inside, that, and outside, they may be chanting the holy name. And they may say that, oh, we were there while he was leaving the body, or she was leaving the body, we chanted the holy name, we dropped tulsi leaf on his tongue, we put this garland from Radha Gogulananda on him, he must have gone back home back to Godhead. No. No guarantee there. There is no guarantee, because if you understand the subtlety of spiritual life, you will agree with this, that all these are external things. If it happens, by Krishna's mercy, it comes, it's fine. But inside, if it's not happening, at that point, all these things will remain as a, you may not be able to give a guarantee to someone that he has gone back to the spiritual world. So here, why it is important, Krishna is saying here, to be careful about this. All attachment to material objects, material objects includes all this what we have discussed so far. That means friends, relatives, family, all these things. These are all material objects, including house, the property, assets, bank balance, stocks, shares, or your so-called whatever you are attached to, the dog or the computer or whatever that is. Everything included in that. It's all included in that. If our attachment to all these things, if we don't break it from our side, one day they will break it from us. One day they will break. If before that happens, if we don't break our connection with them, before they break the connection with us, remember this, if we don't break our connection with all these things, before they break the connection from us, because one day it is going to be broken, isn't it? We all agree with that. Either we leave them or they leave us. Generally it is like that. Either we leave them or they leave us. It is absolutely a necessity. Krishna's creation is such that you won't be able to keep it with you all the time. So, all the advanced, spiritually advanced people will agree with this one point, that before the sense objects, when I say sense objects means includes all these things. Before the sense objects leaves you, if you do not break yourself from the sense objects, if you do not break yourself from the sense objects, when you leave them, you will carry them all with you in the form of vasanas. You will carry them all with you when you leave your body in the form of vasanas. Vasana means, say, your lovely dog, your lovely wife or lovely husband, lovely children, lovely bank balance, lovely home, lovely this, lovely that. All these things, if within inside you have not broken away from them, before they leave you, you will carry them with you when you leave the body to the next destination. In that process, they will decide your next birth. They will decide your next birth. That is why Krishna is saying, first thing, prior to liberation, the first condition is, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu. All these bandhu and jana, sneham swajana and bandhu, they are the closest ones, isn't it? It's for their purpose you work so hard, maintain them, provide them everything what they want and want to keep that relationship going. So much illusion in our head about it. Krishna is saying there that to that personality who wants to come back home, back to Godhead, this is the first thing he has to do. To break up these connections. So, Shastram is saying like this, that if you do not do this, what will happen is that all that people, all that personalities with whom you have developed attachment and whom you are finding it difficult to break away, you must break away from them even prior to leaving this world. While here, with them, you have to break that attachment. So, mamata nirasam. In Shastram, the word is mamata. Mamata is means, as I mentioned, the attachment. Nirasam. Nirasam means completely breaking away. So, mamata nirasam, or attachment breaking up, is the first requirement in the Ekadasha Skandam from Krishna. So, while hearing that, probably you may have already made up your mind whether you want to continue here Ekadasham or not. When you hear the when four regulative principles were introduced, that was enough for us, isn't it? There was continuous discussion for ages. Is all the four necessary, or one is enough, or two may not be sufficient? One is more difficult, particularly the illicit sex life is very difficult. Like this, devotees were at that time negotiating if we could at least make some concessions on these four to some degree. So, if they hear this requirement from Krishna, what will they say? What will they say? They will say, let's close the Bhagavatam, we will distribute it to others to read. Let them all read as much as they want. We will, and whatever benefit I get from that distribution, I'll take it. And whoever wants to practice it, those who read it, they can practice it, isn't it? It's not for me. This will be the next thing what we will say. We are all in that category. No, don't think that anyone is accepted from that. We are all in that category. This is how our spiritual life is. When Krishna says something, first we want to put it, whether it fits into my life today. We want to see that. And then we want to check it out, if that works, to whatever degree it is acceptable. To such a degree only we want spiritual life. We don't want all these heavy demands from Krishna. We want these four regulative principles is the maximum. It's the very maximum we can stretch ourselves to. Isn't it? Anything more than that, when Krishna says, we say, it's all right, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us so much mercy now. Let me go after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, leave Krishna there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, Mahaprabhu will take care of everything. I don't have to worry about it. Because I am serving Mahaprabhu, he is taking care of everything. He is so magnanimous and telling the same principle like sometimes Christians said, that Jesus Christ is so merciful, so I can do what I want. In that way, our mind will go in that direction. So anyway, this is the reason why Krishna is saying, liberation is not a cheap thing. Liberation is not something when one has a slight attachment anywhere in this world, he is not ready for liberation. He has to come back here. Because the vasanas won't allow him to escape from the world of karmam. We discussed this in the third canto before, karma mandalam. What does karma mandalam mean? Karma mandalam means panchagni vidya. If you remember, in the Bhagavad Gita also we spoke about it. That the middle planetary system, earthly planet, bhulogam, bhurlogam, swarlogam. Three things. Within this, the soul is moving up and down, up and down. It doesn't go to brahmalogam, doesn't go to hellish planets also easily. Majority of the souls in this world, these three planetary systems, or middle planetary systems it's called, earthly planet, bhurlogam and swarlogam, heavenly planets, within that, which is called karma mandalam, they are within the jurisdiction of karmam. In other words, within the jurisdiction of karmam. So the living entity or the soul will stay within this, up and down, will never be able to free itself from there. Will not be able to free itself from there. So, when one is able to free, come out of this karma mandalam, as it is referred to in the Bhagavatam, then you can know that you have are ready for liberation. So long as karma vasana is there inside, because attachment means what? This vasana means what? Vasana means again karmam. Vasana will push you to do karmam again, to fulfill that vasana. So, vasana forms in the form of karma vasana. And karma vasana will develop into action. And action will further cause further vasanas and it will go multiplying again and again. So this is the danger that is involved in all these things. So that's why it is said here in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this attachment has to completely break from a person before he can talk about liberation. before he can talk about liberation. So therefore, these instructions are spoken so clearly here.
Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu maya aveshyamana samyak samadra vijaraswagam.
Vijaraswagam, it is said. Vijaraswagam. Krishna says, after you have broken it, then you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about anything in this world. You just walk through this world.
Different acharyas have put it in different ways. One acharya says that you can at least, in the shastram, there are different levels of instruction depending on the person. For advanced people, for advanced souls, this instruction supply, what we have heard here. But for ordinary people, what is expected of us at this stage, we know it cannot be done for us. We know it's not possible. But what Krishna expects us to do at this stage is to live a life in such a way that when at a particular time in life one makes up my mind, his own mind, to break these connections inside, at least inside, at least inside. He can live in this world wherever he is, in whichever situation he is, but at least inside that connection one should break away, break up with the attachment to the rest of the world. That is sannyasam. In Krishna is saying that because ordinary people, especially in this Kali Yugam, if people take sannyasam, it all ends up in a lot of complexities, comes from that. Therefore it is even said that Kali Yugam sannyasam is not recommended for this reason. Because Kali Yugam sannyasam ends up in so many different crises, will develop from that. And you can see that many, many great sannyasis at some time or the other, they had fallen down from sannyasam due to not being fully ripe, like Uddhava was. Uddhava was a fully ripened fruit. So sannyasam is at that stage in life when one only is fully ripe. And the first and the foremost qualification to take sannyasam is this extreme vairagyam in a person. Without that vairagyam, if you take sannyasam, sannyasam will dwindle all the time. Then sannyasam will develop into another kind of family life with others. It will develop a family in another form. So there are these dangers involved. So because of that only, Krishna is saying here, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu. But if one takes sannyasam, he will not be able to stay there unless the second point is taken seriously. What is that? Mayavesha mana. The mind should be completely absorbed in Krishna all the time. There is no time where he can break away from Krishna, thinking himself independent, thinking himself to be free to do what he wants to do. Total absorption in Krishna is vayavesha mana. And Krishna makes it very specific by saying samyak. Samyak means that you don't fall from there anymore, from that position. 24 hours in thoughts of Krishna, absorption in Krishna, and at the same time, while being absorbed in Krishna, not able to see anything else in this creation except Krishna and Krishna's expansions or manifestations. In other words, a strong link with Krishna all the time, not any time without break, is what is expected in sannyasam from Krishna. So therefore Krishna says, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu mayavesha mana, and again samyak, without falling from that even for a second. And then you'll be in the situation like samadrak. You'll be in a equal vision, must have developed by then. Because of this situation, samadrak, you must become a sabdrik automatically, samadrik, and then you wander around, you're already liberated. Vijaraswagam, Krishna says, in this world. So, what does it mean? It means that this situation, what Krishna is talking about, requires practice. This is where we start looking inwards, inside ourselves. All other things what we do in spiritual life is external, isn't it? We do so many things in spiritual life, very much external. We follow the regulative principles. We do the deity worship. We go to the temple, pay our obeisances to the deities.
we pay obeisances to the devotees, and we go to the holy places, we remember Krishna's pastimes at different places. So many things we do, but they are very much on an external level. Very much on an external level. But in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is bringing us a little bit on a higher level. He's talking to us. That externalities have come to a close, and more internal side is start developing now, where you are seeing the change that's happening in Krishna's instructions. In the time when we spoke about many other devotees in the Bhagavatam before, and also in the 10th canto, in the Shamaskandam, we all talked about only one point. It was all spoken to bring the mind under control. Isn't it? To bring the mind under control. That was the purpose of saying all that things. And if one has achieved the control of the mind, then it is easier to attach the mind to Krishna. Otherwise it's not possible. Isn't it? Attach the mind to Krishna. Otherwise it's not possible. You can see how difficult it is controlling the mind. Isn't it? Every one of us know. Arjuna knew this. And Uddhava knew that. And Krishna also recognized it. Durjayana maham mana. Krishna says, among all the things difficult to control in this world, the most difficult thing is the mind. So, in order to attach mind to Krishna, one has to have the control of the mind, isn't it? Otherwise, how to attach himself to Krishna? It's not possible. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this issue of controlling the mind is discussed in a slightly different way. It's a very interesting thing, how to control the mind. We all know, when you start chanting the holy name, how the mind goes, isn't it? When you started chanting, you started, decided that, oh, I will remember Krishna now, and I'll start my first round. The first holy name you have chanted, by now, the mind has gone somewhere else. And when do you remember next time that your mind was elsewhere? When you finished the 16th round. Is it true or not? If it is, I don't know whether it happens to me, that's why I'm saying that very full of confidence. I don't know, maybe some people are able to keep all the time able to remember Krishna. Mayavesha mana means remembering Krishna. Are they able to remember Krishna? No. So, what do we do normally? We bring, use all our strength, mental strength I mean, to focus the mind as much as possible on the holy name and on Krishna. This is what we try to do, isn't it? That's what we try to do. But in spite of that, he escapes sometimes. Before you know, he's gone. And then when does it come back? After some time, half an hour or so, you start thinking, oh, what I have been thinking about all this time? Mind was elsewhere. Why? I waste half an hour, I have chanted. What can I do? I have to chant 16 rounds and 2 hours only I have time because I have to go to work now. Nothing I can do. 2 days chanting was not very good. Or some feeling, guilt, comes inside. And then you go. And then you will think after 6 months, 1 year, a few years, you start thinking, I've chanted so many months, years, nothing has happened. Then somebody tells you, well, you've been chanting, but where was the mind all the time? Well, mind was elsewhere. What can I do? I couldn't do anything about it. So you may say the same thing about chanting also then, that it's not possible to do anything about it. Mind, difficult to control. Arjuna said, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramadhi valaval dridam, he said. But Bhagavatam is saying, there is another method with the mind. Instead of trying to bring mind in one point and focus the mind on to one, concentrate on one thing of chanting, before you start chanting the holy name, you say to the mind like this. It is called, in Bhagavatam, the way it is put is like that, asangatvam. Asangatvam means, you tell the mind that, look, I'll buy you one round the world ticket and I'll give it to you. You go. Take the ticket and go where you want. Separate yourself from the mind. This is an easier thing than focusing on trying to control the mind. If you practice it, try, give it a try and see what happens. Bhagavatam is talking about that. Asangatvam. Asangatvam is easier than trying to control the mind. You tell the mind that, well, I appreciate your situation. You want to go elsewhere. You want to travel all over the world. Here is a ticket, a cheap ticket, for round the world ticket, world traveler as they call it, isn't it? Give it to him and tell him to go. Let the mind go. Don't bother about the mind. And then start chanting. See what happens. It may help. I'm not sure it will help. It may help. Bhagavatam is saying like this, it should help because many devotees have followed this process. They absorbed themselves and told the mind, you wander around somewhere. And they got started thinking about Srimad Bhagavatam and the Krishna's pastimes. In a natural way it happened to them that for a long time they realized it, that trying to control this man called, this guy called mind, is foolishness. You won't win because he will beat you at the end. Many, many great devotees and acharyas have spoken about this, about the mind, how it plays. Some people calls it as a monkey. It's like a monkey. A monkey's nature is what? Always crazy, isn't it? You'll see, some of the things what monkeys do, if you have observed that, you will see how they do. There are two trees standing, one next to each other. So, one monkey is there and its baby monkey is also with it. So, this monkey, they are distance apart. So, monkeys have got the capacity to jump from one tree to another, isn't it? So, they will jump from one branch of this tree to one branch on the other tree. In that process, this first monkey will jump, he will catch hold of the branch on the other tree. He will manage to get it. But this little monkey who was with this monkey, he also jumped along with the mother or father, whoever it is. In the process, he didn't make it, he fell there. He fell down. So once you fall, what does he do? Have you looked at him? What does he do? Instead of going to the second tree and climbing up, he'll go back to the first tree and start climbing up again. Because he thinks that's the only way to get to the other tree. He's climbing this tree. He could as well climb the second tree and go up. Because he couldn't jump from one tree branch to the another. Could he? He couldn't do it. But the bigger monkey has managed to do it. But the little one, he couldn't. He fell. When he falls, instead of going to the second tree, he'll go to the first tree again, go up, again jump from there. This is us. This is what we do, isn't it? We fight out in this world as much as we can, in every possible way. Every time we lose, and we continue fighting against it. So is there a difference between a monkey and us? That's the question. So this monkey is the finest example of the mind. And all his activities are also in the same way. So instead of trying to... So have you seen, in the West you won't see this, but in India sometimes, in villages, people bring this monkey just to get some money. So there will be someone who get hold of a monkey, I will tie one rope around his neck and he'll hold the rope. And he'll take the monkey to different places in the market, street, in different houses. When the children see the monkey, they all want, they know that there's going to be some fun seeing the way how the monkeys behave. So this man who is keeping the monkey, he will tell the monkey to do different tricks. He'll ask the monkey to different tricks. Every time he has got this rope in his hand, and he will tell him, you jump from here to there, he will jump. And he will show different kinds of expressions to the children. Children will sit and stand and watch that, and they will sometimes give some money to the man, and he will go away with him. So all the time, he has got this rope behind the monkey. And he knows that if I don't have this rope, he'll be gone. The rope is necessary. So similarly, this monkey inside also what we have requires that rope. If you try to control him with the rope too much, that monkey will do his tricks and you'll be busy with looking after his tricks, playing with the tricks of this monkey. But instead, if you allow the rope to let it go, tell the monkey go where you want and allow him to go and do your own things, what you want to do, independent of the monkey, then you will see it makes a little bit more easier, these things controlling the mind. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying this, asangam. Asangatva means not getting attached to this mind too much and thinking that through without mind I can't function. That is our biggest illusion in our head. We are always thinking that if I have no mind, how can I do anything? For spiritual life, you don't need the mind. You let the mind go, let it go where it has to go. But if you let it go, you will realize it. Remember this. When you go from Jagrat to Swapnam, when you go from Jagrat to Swapnam, what happens first thing? The senses stops functioning, isn't it? And then the only person who is engaging you is the mind. Is the mind. In Swapnam, the only thing what is engaging you is the mind. When you go to Sushupti, even the mind withdraw. And that is why in Sushupti states, this craziness of the mind has stopped. And that is why you are feeling refreshed when you come back from Sushupti. Because the mind was not disturbing you in Sushupti. A person gets old. Why? Because this mind, throughout the life, has put him in a awkward situation. That's why sometimes we say, he's losing it, we say, isn't it? Why do we say like that? Because the mind is going, is driving him crazy. So mind is not something which is absolutely essential for spiritual life. Spiritual life is on a spiritual platform. It's not on a mental platform. Whereas we are thinking, oh, what will happen to me if I lose my mind? How can I function? While doing different transactions in this world, you need a mind. But because through the mind only you can relate with these material objects. For spiritual life, you don't need the mind. You can say goodbye to the mind and take to the pure spiritual path of chanting the holy name without being affected by any of that. And that way, if you chant the holy name in that way, you will see that the holy name will get you out of the influence of mind in a very short period of time. The holy name has got that potency. Otherwise, while being absorbed in the mind 24 hours, in order to try to escape from the mind, it is very, very difficult. So, that is just an important point to remember. But Ekadasi Skandham is very deeper subject. And as soon as we go into more and more other things, we will talk about it in due course. Today I will stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.